I'd like to look at a message I have entitled, The Ingredients to a Happy Home. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Before I go into the message, The Ingredients to a Happy Home, let me ask you something. Are you saved? Are you born again? John 3, 7, Jesus said, ye must be born again. You must be born again if you're truly going to have a happy home. This is man's condition. Every human being in the world is born spiritually dead. He is born that way, separated from God because of his sin. He is cut off completely from a personal relationship with God Almighty. That is man's condition. He is a person who follows his own desires, who walks according to the dictate of the devil, who lives according to the course of this world, who chooses to sin, who sins willfully. Man is in an awful state without the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He is lost and bound for an awful place called hell. Hell is an awful place, my friend. Hell is described in the Bible as a place of unquenchable fire. Mark 9:43, the Bible says, and if thy hand the fin they cut it off, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands going to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. It is a fire whose flames never go out. 100,000 years from the day, the fires of hell shall burn as they burn right now. They shall never be quenched. No relief from the flames of hell, no quenching of the flames of hell. Hell shall burn forever and ever and ever, and all those in that awful place shall endure hell forever. You say, preacher, I don't want to go to that awful place called hell. Is there a way out? Yes, there is a way out, and God did it. God, in his love, mercy, and grace, came up with a plan to save man. Now, in order for God to save man, God would have to die himself upon the cross of Calvary. So God the Eternal One, God the Holy One, God the High and Lifted Up One, that Almighty God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And he, who knew no sin, went to Calvary's cross and became the substitute for man's sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, for he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus Christ, God's Son, took my sins upon himself on the cross. God said my sins and your sins were laid upon Christ, and he died in our place. He became our substitute. Then God the Father turned upon his only begotten Son and raised his hand of judgment upon him. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, he paid the penalty for my sins, and today I can say my sins are paid for. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did a wonderful thing for you on the cross. Jesus died in your place so you can have eternal life, a home in heaven, and your sins forgiven. There is only one way to be saved from an awful place called hell. That's by way of the cross. Only one way. Repent of your sins and turn to Christ. Believing is the key. Salvation is as simple as believing on Christ. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I believe the keeper of this prison would have done anything at this point to get saved. What did the Apostle Paul say? Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, preacher, it can't be that simple. Jesus said it this way, John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Jesus took your place on the cross. Jesus took my place on the cross. He said, I'll take Norman's sins on me, and I'll pay the price of Norman's sins. All Norman has to do is receive what I have done. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. simply believing on Christ, the one who bore your sins, who died in your place, who was buried, and whom God resurrected from the dead. What a wonderful truth. Jesus died for me. That awful place called hell, that dreadful place of separation, that horrible place of torment and unquenchable fire is my just reward. However, through Christ I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and I have no fear of going to an awful place called hell when I die. Jesus paid it all. So how about you? Are you 100% sure if you die today your sins are forgiven? God holds no crime against you. God holds no charge against you. Are you 100% sure if you die tonight, heaven is your home? If not, I beg you to receive Christ today before it becomes eternally too late. Jesus did a wonderful thing for you. He died for you, buried for you, rose again a third day for you, and nothing would thrill him any more than to say he denied. You must be born again if you're truly going to have a happy home. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the ingredients to a happy home. Notice, please, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up into nurture and admonition of the Lord. By way of introduction, let me say this. Every home is made up of an imperfect husband. Every home is made up of an imperfect wife. Every home is made up of imperfect children. Therefore, no home is perfect. But God intended the Christian home to be a happy home. I hope you believe that. Did you know that God created the home? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Did you know that God fashioned Eve with Adam in mind, and then God introduced Eve into Adam? Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Thank God for the Christian home. But not every Christian home is a happy home. The Christians living there tolerate one another so much of the time. They're often contemplating divorce or have gone on to live together for the sake of their children or for the sake of their reputation. Too many times in a Christian home, the children are rebellious and dishonoring of their parents' authority. Fathers are absent in body. Mothers are at the office. Christian standards are rarely taught. Christian standards are rarely enforced. The television has become the babysitter. Bickering, fighting, screaming, and yelling are common in many Christian homes today. The Lord's name is rarely heard in many Christian homes, except for the profanity that comes from the television set. Church attendance is often sporadic. Church ministries designed for the Christian family are often ignored. Sports often come ahead of church services. Prayer and Bible reading are often overlooked. Greater value is often placed on getting things and not in the blessing of spending quality time together as a family. God's people are so busy trying to keep up with their neighbors and trying to buy more things that finally one day when their children are gone, all they are comforted with is things and not the children. Prayer is something offered only at mealtime, if then. There is an unforgiving spirit that usually brings about the exchange of harsh words. Chaos and confusion is the order of the day. My dear Christian friends, it is true. You can plainly see by observing husbands and wives as they carry on together. If you get into a conversation with children and talk with them, you'll find out what goes on in the average Christian home today. You say, "Preacher, how can all this be changed?" Well, with the time remaining, we're going to look at three ingredients that ought to characterize your Christian home if it is truly going to be a happy home. Number one, love ought to characterize your Christian home. Number two, submission ought to characterize your Christian home. And then number three, honor ought to characterize your Christian home if it is truly going to be this happy home. Please notice number one, love ought to characterize your Christian home if it is going to be a happy home. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband ought to be the expert on love in the home. He ought to teach his wife how to be loving. He ought to teach his children how to be loving. Love ought to characterize the husband. Love ought to characterize the wife. Love ought to characterize the children. Husbands ought to love their wives, but wives ought to love their husbands. Husbands ought to love their wives, but fathers ought to love their children. And children ought to love their parents, and parents ought to love one another. Titus 2:4 says of the women that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, honor thy father and mother. That certainly must include love. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says, be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love. And surely, brotherly love that exists in the house of God ought to begin in the Christian home. The mark of a godly home is love. And if love prevails in your home between members, you will find a happy home. The words, I love you, ought to abound in your Christian home. The gentle touch ought to be felt in your Christian home. The affectionate glance ought to be felt in your Christian home. Not just by the husband, not just by the wife, not just by the children, but by all members of the household. Acts of kindness ought to run rampant throughout your Christian home. Acts of thoughtfulness ought to run rampant throughout your Christian home. The giving of oneself ought to be the normal course of action in your Christian home. The doing for another ought to be the normal course of action in your Christian home. Not just by the husband, not just by the wife, not just by the children, but by all members of the household. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So let me ask you something. Husbands, do you love your wives? Do you love your children? Wives, do you love your husband? Do you love your children? Children, do you love your parents? Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? Love ought to characterize your Christian home, not the cheap Hollywood love that promotes the physical, that promotes the carnal. I'm not talking about that. Not the cheap selfish love that delights in being loved, that delights in being served. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the Bible calls agape love. When Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, he used the word that means to set your affection on another, not because of what they can do in return for you, but because of the value you have come to place upon them. The husband ought to love his wife. He ought to love his children. The wife ought to love her husband. She ought to love her children. Children ought to love the parents, not because there is something good in it for you, not because of what somebody else can do for you, but for the thrill of doing something for someone else. Well, that kind of love is absent in the average Christian home today. If she would do so-and-so, I'd love her. If he was a better man, I'd love him. If my parents were more spiritual, I'd love them. If my children were not so rebellious, I'd love them. That attitude's not right. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. You are to love your wife is to love you. You are to love your children are to love you, not because there's something good in it for you, but because you want to have the joy of giving to someone else. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be marked by love. They ought to be marked by the selfless love. That is, you need to give yourself to others. You need to meet the needs of others. Real love says, what do you need? And let me have the privilege of meeting that need. Husbands, do you say that to your wives? Wives, do you say that to your husbands? Children, do you say that to your parents? Parents, do you say that to your children? Husbands, do you come home in the evening and help your wife with the dishes? Do you say, preacher, I don't like doing dishes? Well, you don't come home and help your wife with the dishes because you like it. You come home and help your wife with the dishes because you love her, and that's the difference. Wives, do you enjoy serving your husbands? Do you say, preacher, I don't enjoy serving him no more? You don't serve him because you enjoy it. You serve him because you love him, and that's the difference. Daddies, do you like playing house with your little girl? Do you say, preacher, I don't like playing house with my little girl. You don't play house with your little girl, Daddy, because you like it. You play house with your little girl because you love her. And that's the difference. Mom, do you like playing softball with your boys? You say, preacher, I don't like playing softball with my boys. Well, you don't play softball with your boys because you like it, Mommy. You play softball with your boys because you love them. And that's the difference. Children, do you like talking to your parents? You say, preacher, I don't like talking to my parents because they have other interests. Well, you don't talk to your parents because you like their interest. You talk to your parents because you love them. That's the difference. The average dad is so selfish that all he cares for is what he wants. The average mom is so selfish that all she cares for is what she wants. The average child is so selfish that all he or she cares for is what he or she wants. You want what you want. You want what satisfies you. You want what gratifies you. Listen, selfishness will kill your home long before anything else will. We have noticed, number one, that love ought to characterize your Christian home. The husband ought to be the expert at it, but that does not mean that he is to be the only one. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be amongst by law. But notice, number two, submission ought to characterize your Christian home. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That is good advice for any wife. But that is good advice for all of us. Every Christian home ought to be marked by a submissive wife and by the presence of submission itself. Think with me. It is just as wrong for a husband not to submit to Jesus Christ as it is for a wife not to submit to her husband. Husbands, don't you forget that when you get so upset with your wives because they will not submit. It is just as wicked for you not to submit to Jesus Christ. It is just as wicked for a teenager not to submit to the preaching of the Word of God as it is for a wife not to submit to her husband. It is just as wicked for a family not to submit to the Word of God as it is for a wife not to submit to her husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, but let submission itself characterize your Christian home. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission ought not just characterize the wife. However, she ought to be the expert at it. But that does not mean that she is to be the only one. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be marked by submission. James 4:7, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The mark of a godly home is submission, and if submission prevails in your home between members, you will find a happy home. Question, what does it mean to be submissive? It simply means you are to trust in the rule and overriding sovereignty of God. That is, you are to give yourself to the rule of another. Therefore, you ought to submit yourselves in your homes to the rule of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be submissive to the preaching and teaching of the pastor and spiritual leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. The Christian home ought to be characterized by submission to the rule of the will of God personally. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will of doing service as to the Lord and not to man. The Christian home ought to be characterized by submission to the rule of earthly authority. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now you are to be submissive in all things, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Wives, you ought to teach your husbands how to be submissive. You ought to teach your children how to be submissive. You ought to let your family see an example in you of what submission really is. Then children ought to learn. Then husbands ought to learn. Listen, folks, rebellion in any form will always bring shame and misery to any Christian home. You tend to think of rebellion in the sense of a bossy wife. You tend to think of rebellion in the sense of disobedient children. But I say to you, there are just as many rebellious husbands today who will not submit to the authority of God, will not submit to the rule of God. Submission is a blessing in a home. Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, let them learn first to show piety at home. The word piety simply means to show reverence. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. You are to learn first reverence, respect, and submission at home first. Eli, the high priest, whose sons Hophni and Phinehas were very rebellious. They committed immorality at the temple gate. They were disobedient. They were rotten. They were wicked. And one day God judged them, and rightfully so. But long before Hophni and Phinehas were rebellious against God, they were rebellious against their father Eli. Long before Absalom rebelled against God, he rebelled against his father David. You can read the Bible through, and you will find that submission is the blessing of the home, and rebellion is its blight. Rebellion, and nobody is going to tell me what to do. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Word of God says. We're going to do what we want to do. That kind of attitude will never bless your home. It will always be a blight. We have noticed, number one, love ought to characterize a Christian home. We have noticed, number two, submission ought to characterize a Christian home. The wife ought to be the expert at it, but that does not mean that she is to be the only one. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be marked by submission. But notice number three, honor ought to characterize your Christian home if it is going to be a happy home. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Children are told not only to obey their parents, we've already talked about that in the concept of submission, but they're also told to honor thy father and mother. So dad and mom, don't you tolerate your children dishonoring you, dishonoring the position that you hold. Don't you do that. No Christian home is totally Christian when honor is not a part of that home. Regarding the virtuous woman, God speaks of honor in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25, which says, strength and honor are her clothing. Husbands are commanded to honor the wives in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, which says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Children are to honor the parents. A woman is to be clothed in honor, and husbands are to honor the wives. The mark of a godly home is honor, and if honor prevails in your home between members, you will find a happy home. Honor is what God deserves. Honor is the proper attitude toward spiritual leaders. And all that kind of honoring begins in the Christian home. To honor means prefer, and that simply means you go first. It is the absence of the critical spirit. Philippians 2:14, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. It is not only children that gripe, but children gripe because mom and dad gripe. It is not only children that complain, but children complain because mom and dad complain. It is not only children that criticize, but children criticize because mom and dad criticize. It is not right when a child does not honor his parents, but I say to you, it is not right when a man is not showing honor. It is not right when a woman is not showing honor. Husbands, you ought to honor your wives because they are God's choice for you. Wives, you ought to honor your husbands because they are God's choice for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, the Bible says, wives, see that she reverence her husband, which means to honor. That simply means to show respect. Children, you ought to honor your parents because they are God's choice for you. You talk about God's absolute sovereignty. You see that in the family in which a child is born. You had no choice in the family in which you were born. That was the sovereign act of God. And you ought to honor your parents because God handpicked every one of your parents. No home will be a happy home when the spirit of bitterness prevails. No home will be a happy home when the spirit of contention prevails. No home will be a happy home when the spirit of strife prevails. So let there be instead the sweet spirit of honor and respect. Mark it down. If your home is marked by disobedience, it will eventually prevail in the church. If your home is marked by bickering, it will eventually prevail in church. If your home is unspiritual, it will eventually prevail in the church. If your home is carnal, it will eventually prevail in the church. If your home is rebellious,
Your church
will eventually become rebellious, carnal, unspiritual, bickering, and disobedient. You can count on it. Whatever the makeup of your home, it will eventually prevail in the church. Now I'm concerned about your home. I want you folks to have happy homes. And I hope you want the same thing, but it's not going to happen by accident. It's only going to happen as you do what is right, as you do what the Word of God says, as you do what God says. So if I would ask you to describe your Christian home, would the words love, submission, and honor come up in your list? We have noticed, number one, that love ought to characterize your Christian home. The husband ought to be the expert at it, but that does not mean that he is to be the only one. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be amongst my law. We have noticed, number two, submission ought to characterize the Christian home. The wife ought to be the expert at it, but that does not mean that she is to be the only one. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be marked by submission. And then number three, honor ought to characterize the Christian home. Children, the experts at it. You ought to be the ones who show dad and mom what it is to give honor and respect to all those in authority. But they're not the only ones. Husbands, wives, and children ought to be marked by honor. So let me ask you something. Does that describe your Christian home?